Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I have a thought that's probably dumb, but it's not definitely dumb, so I'm going to say it.
And the Bulldog.
Alan Hearns. Get out!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Where is that guy now, Alan Hearns?
Maybe Sigmund Bloom can tell us.
Sigmund, do you know? What team is Alan Hearns on these days? Sigmund, what team is Alan Hearns on? Do you know?
The Cowboys.
Is he still in Dallas?
On the Cowboys.
Sorry. Oh, that's right. Bulldog cut him. The Cowboys didn't cut him.
No, that's right. I just sent him on his way.
That's right.
He's still trying to get over it.
I just thought maybe that had to happen in real life if it happened in here, but yeah, no. Why would I think that? Sigmund Bloom is with us on the Westshore Hotline. This is always a treat.
He was definitely bracing for Alan Hearns questions right out of the box.
Yeah, before hello. Rudely, we asked about Alan Hearns, but you knew he would know it. He's the co-owner of Football Guys, and I saw today, Sigmund, that you guys put a piece up about the Bills running backs. And so I've read you, so I pretty much know where you stand here. Are we overthinking it by thinking that it might not be LeSean McCoy?
That's my take, and I'm not going to claim to have a better grasp of the team than y'all, or I'm sure even some of your listeners, but they've had many junctions where they could have traded him or moved on from him in the last year or two, and they seem to highly value him. And I would imagine maybe from a culture standpoint or a standpoint of what he embodies, the intensity he brings to the way he plays, maybe they really value him as a centerpiece of the offense. So I think $6.5 million, exorbitant amount of money for his services, and I would expect him to still lead the backfield.
Yeah, and would you say, based on his performance, that it almost has to be what you're describing there, competitiveness, culture, et cetera, because performance-wise, why would – he still be here?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not adding as much value to his touches as he did earlier in his career, but it isn't like the Bills have had running backs chomping at the bit behind him that are playing so well that they demand more touches. And we'll see about Devin Singletary this year. Frank Gore is still, like, well, the way he runs the ball is catnip to coaches. So if that is the case, then Frank Gore is going to make us even more excited. And, you know, we get to the in NFL terms, geriatric backfield. But I think that actually fits the MO.
Right. The thing that has changed here, though, Sigmund, on the Bills, and like we'll see. You maybe end up being absolutely correct. The Bills have represented that. Our guy who covers the Bills has been in line with that they love McCoy and they think it was just a weird year. But they drafted Singletary in the third round, and they do have Gore now, and they do have T.J. Yeldon. Like, to me, they look more like a team that is prepared to, if an opportunity presents itself, you know, maybe they're not dying to move on from McCoy, but if something happens once training camps get rolling or preseason games get going, they're prepared to go without him.
Sure, and they have some overlapping or redundancy here now. McCoy's a good receiving back, so is T.J. Yeldon. I think maybe Yeldon can mix it up downhill the way that Chris Ivory could last year along with Gore. And then Singletary gives them tackle-breaking ability, that contact balance and ability to create a la LeSean McCoy. So I think some of this also is just injury rate at the position. And the Patriots taking Damian Harris. You just see that teams want to have a solid player that they, not just in an emergency, but a player that can contribute on game day too.
So, Sigmund, tomorrow is the League of Shopes and Dreams draft. It's our second year, Fantasy Dynasty. And I have a trophy. I bought a trophy for this league. First of all, like, is that a good thing? Does that matter to you if you're in a league? Like, if there's a trophy, does that change how interesting the league is to you?
Sure.
Yes.
I would guess, at this point that you just saw the Stanley Cup hoisted. So you have to create a story. Maybe it doesn't necessarily need to be a traditional trophy. It could just be some coveted or, fetishized item. I think there's a lot of ways to make it important beyond it being a traditional trophy.
Right. That's yes. This trophy, my issue, I think we know each other well enough now, Sigmund. You know where I am on all this stuff. This trophy takes itself really seriously. Like, okay. It's a serious-looking trophy. And
rightly.
Right, that's my problem. Somebody tweeted us a trophy that the guy won like 5 or 6 years ago, and it's a guy in full equipment slumped in a lounge chair. And like, that's a fantasy football trophy like that I could get behind. This thing looks like it's real serious, and I don't know.
It's a football. It's a giant gold football right. on top of a brown right. box.
Right.
You've seen lots of trophies like this, I'm sure. So do you, like, say you win a fantasy. Now, maybe as the co-owner of a leading fantasy website, this may not apply to you, but it could also apply.
Okay.
You win one of these trophies. What do you do with it? Because Bulldog is like, I would not display that. And I'm like, of course I would display it.
I agree. And I think because of a deal we had with a manufacturer, we got trophies for our staff leagues 1 year that I won. And I got one that was like the Lombardi trophy made out of wood. And I took it with me when I moved a few times. And I wondered, why am I still keeping this? So I'm going to just put out there into the hive mind. It should be something useful, you know, like a flask, like the security at the airport, or you know.
Right. Now we're talking.
After that, you can really enhance your life.
Okay, that's a good point. I bought this today, though. It's too late for me. With Sigmund Bloom of Football Guys. All right, so on this draft tomorrow, there are a few veterans sprinkled in. On the website we use to draft Sigmund, the highest ranking veteran in this draft tomorrow is TJ Yeldon, actually. Demaryius Thomas, Eli Manning, that kind of caliber of a fantasy asset. So it's all the rookies. And everybody seems to think Josh Jacobs is the only number one pick. Although you guys did a draft there and he was not the number one pick. I wonder how you feel about that, and then like where you would go from there.
Sure. I like Jacobs a lot. I liked him a lot before the draft, and I'm fine with him going number one because he's going to be a do-everything back. John Gruden will ride his running backs. Remember what he did to Cadillac Williams? You know, I think that Josh Jacobs is going to be everything we want for fantasy football. It's just a question of how good he is. But I'm liking him in redraft leagues where you get him in the third round, too. Then after that, now this is my take, and what's great about the rookie draft this year and people's opinions on rookies is it's very widely varying. So my number five is your number 20. Your number 20 is my number five. This is one of those situations where you should be able to come away with this draft feeling you got your guys. And I think it incentivizes trading down. But if you can trade down and you have a pick at number 2, 3, 4, 5, a lot of people are going to take Miles Sanders. A lot of people are going to take Nikhil Harry. A lot of people are going to take David Montgomery. But that's not the direction I would go. I love Kyler Murray. I think the offense and his running and passing aggressiveness will give him a ceiling as high as any quarterback in fantasy football.
All right.
Daryl Henderson, obviously, is intriguing now with Todd Gurley's knee. He's in a great offense. He's a great player. Let's not overthink this. Eventually, he's going to get his time to shine there. And DK Metcalf, with Russell Wilson, I think we're underestimating because they only throw the ball 450 times a year. Tyler Lockett was the top 25 receiver with like 75 targets last year. DK Metcalf can do the same thing. So those are my next group.
In this draft, I referenced that you guys did it, Football Guys. You had the third pick, and you took Mecole Hardman, and there were no trades there. Does Tyreek Hill, the latest development with Hill, where it seems more likely he'd play, change that for you? Does Hardman come off this list?
Yeah, well, Hardman's more like 5 or 6 now. I mean, look, Hardman still gets to develop with Patrick Mahomes, and they coveted him. With or without Tyreek Hill in their future. And maybe Hill returns to the Chiefs but doesn't get a second contract with the Chiefs. I don't know.
Yeah.
The toughest part of this picture is almost like your evaluation of humanity, but through the lens of the NFL, it always ends up disappointing because you would think that there's enough smoke here with Tyreek Hill and what he carried into the league to say, okay, you were already on thin ice and on watching you closely. This is enough. And I really expected the Chiefs would move on from him after how they handled Kareem Hunt. But you see this denominator of the value to the team on the field and how reluctant it makes the team to move on from players whenever there could be a public outcry. So now I think he'll probably going to play, or I think there's a greater chance he's going to play this year and the Chiefs are going to keep him than I did, say, a month or two ago. But still, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, Hardman is a major target. Patrick Mahomes probably the best quarterback in the league.
You mentioned how high you are on Kyler Murray. They also added rookie pieces there to that offense. Like, what about do those guys raise their value with what you're thinking about Murray?
Absolutely. They raise the value because it shows me commitment to the air raid and to going forward with, you know, not diluting the implementation of this offense. And even if it's just a year or two hiccup while defenses catch up, a la the Chip Kelly Eagles, that's still, they're going to have the drop, and they have a terrible defense, and they're going to try to run as many plays as any team in the league. So these are all things that add gas to the fire. But of those individual players, Andy Isabella can add a vertical element, and certainly is a player that if he gets loose is going to take the ball to the house. Hakeem Butler can do a lot of things in space and be one of the top outside receivers. And then, just going to looking at this offense in general, not a rookie, but Christian Kirk, he could easily catch 100 balls this year, and he can work inside and outside. He was recruited by Cliff Kingsbury. So we're going to be watching to see who takes to this offense. And maybe the most exciting thing of all is David Johnson, with a coach that not just is going to use him reasonably, unlike last year, but maybe inventively and in a way that brings this talent. He was a top three, top two overall fantasy value play last time we saw him in a good offense.
And one more rookie question I have here with this draft is, so knowing that everybody's roster is different and some people are more well-positioned to win this year than others, beside that, how these guys we're talking about, you named your top five basically.
Sure.
How many guys are there that you think could really matter this year or that you would expect that? Jacobs, yes. Maybe Murray, you're talking about him in pretty high terms. Any of the receivers, like you look at N'Keal Harry, do you see him being really important this year in fantasy, or is it really everybody else is we're talking about down the road?
Well, I wouldn't say everybody else we're talking about down the road, but I would say that I'm reluctant to pencil Harry in for a big role. And that's even if Demaryius Thomas doesn't make the team and Josh Gordon doesn't get reinstated, and either of those things would obviously be a major obstacle to his playing time. But also just we have the track record of receivers getting on the same page with Tom Brady. And early reports out of minicamp mixed. Stephon Gilmore was covering him easily, but also was impressed with him. But just based on the way he played at Arizona State, separation is going to be not a big part of his game. It's run after catch and winning at the catch point. But still this year, Paris Campbell could hit the ground running for Indianapolis. If Marquise Brown gets healthy in Baltimore, he could become Lamar Jackson, number one receiver. I'm still even open to somebody like Deontay Johnson in Pittsburgh because of how much success they've had with that kind of receiver. Deebo Samuel in San Francisco, he's a little banged up. San Francisco's offense could be really good this year. We forgot about how excited we were about Jimmy Garoppolo at this time last year.
Last year at this time, into the summer, really through the summer, I was hearing about Marquise Goodwin like every day. Yeah. And I really liked, like, even just like as a, in a personal way, Marquise Goodwin when he played for the Bills. Like, okay, yeah, I get all of this. I'm with it. I'm with Kyle Shanahan. I'm with Garoppolo. I'm with Marquise Goodwin. I know how fast he is, but durability. And that was always like right there in front of me, durability with Goodwin. He also had some personal stuff of his own that really severely limited his output last year. Hopefully he makes it back. With Sigmund Bloom here from Football Guys on WGR, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog as well. We were talking about the Browns earlier. So I want you specifically on this and then also just sort of in general. Here this week we've got what? Mayfield and veterans and the Duke Johnson thing. I read Jarvis Landry speaking on this at his camp. And then there's a report too that the transition of the new offensive coordinator with the new coach isn't going as smoothly as they want. It's the middle of June.
Right.
Should a fantasy player or a football fan anywhere care about that? How seriously do you take news like that?
I'm not taking it that seriously. A lot of the instant reaction focused on that it was Mike Silver reporting that, his connection to Hugh Jackson, and a lot of people said it was predictable that he would have something negative about Baker Mayfield or negative about the Browns he would run with. So I think tapping the brakes on some of this stuff. Look, Baker Mayfield is a leader, and he's a young leader and a new leader, and this is the way that these things balance themselves out. I think that we heard about it might be more due to some of the nature of the soap opera path there than the sign of like real problems. And then with Monk and Kitchens, I think they had said that Kitchens was probably going to call plays anyway, so I don't know that it was going to be Munkin's offense to run with. I'm still very excited about this offense. You can see what Munkin did in Tampa Bay last year as far as overall productivity. Baker Mayfield's better than Jameis Winston or Ryan Fitzpatrick. They have Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham just distorts defenses and puts them on their heels. The Giants are an entirely different team with Beckham without them. So I'm very excited about this offense.
Okay, you like it. Good.
What do you think they're doing with Duke Johnson? Like Mike was talking about how they've never really used him correctly as it is, and there's just – are they going to find a way to get value for him or just leave him stuck
you
there?
Know, exactly. You this idea that the Bills could trade LeSean McCoy and whether they would do that. Here's a guy any team should much rather want than LeSean McCoy, Duke Johnson.
Right. In a time when the NFL is making great use of these receiving running backs too. And it is frustrating. It's kind of like when the Chargers – franchise Darren Sproles in back-to-back years and barely used him on offense. So you don't really understand why the Browns extended him. I mean, you know, we could argue that it's something that it was an early move and now they have a different direction and a different plan. But I would hope they trade him just as a football fan and a fan of Duke Johnson so it can see him play more because he's always arisen to the occasion. And I understand why he's frustrated. I think we're going to, with the potential work stoppage and labor situation, coming up in the next few years, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and what happened, where players, you know, I'm interested to see what happens with Trent Williams. I'm interested to see what happens with Darius Slay, with Jadeveon Clowney, and whether players are getting a little bolder about having an integral role in determining their destiny, including sitting out if they need to.
With Sigmund Bloom, how much Josh Allen do you think you'll end up with this year? He's around quarterback 20. Are you going to – I don't understand, too, like, most experts just wait on quarterback and it's catch as catch can. But do you see yourself plucking Josh Allen out of a lot of drafts or will somebody get to him first usually?
I could see taking him just because if you're doing a streaming approach and he's 20th, he gives you top five upside any given week. So he easily justifies that. But then you have an opening schedule of the Jets, the Giants, the Bengals, the Patriots. I mean, there's not a lot of scary defenses there. So I think Brian Daboll has done a tremendous job allowing Allen to play in his comfort zone, which just happens to be the zone where he's the most potent for fantasy football. So I think he's probably the best buy on this team in fantasy drafts, along with one of John Brown or Robert Foster, because Allen showed that he can a deep ball receiver value weekly enough to keep them in your lane.
Right. Mm-hmm. We already talked about the hierarchy at running back in Buffalo, and I'm sure we touched on the receiving core the last time we had you on, but is there any, I don't know, has anything evolved since we last talked about who you think is at the top of the heap here amongst this group the Bills have? You just mentioned Foster and Brown. I suppose they top the list.
Yeah, it's a little too early to tell, but you know, we want to see how Cole Beasley's used. And Zay Jones, of course, can take a step forward, and you know, he had some big games last year, too. So it may be a situation where they rotate big games, depending on matchups, just depending on what happens on broken plays and plays that Allen keeps alive. I just think that the hope is that Allen takes a step forward, Daboll takes that step forward with him, and it just increases the value of the passing game in general.
So if you are among the consensus, if you're with the consensus that the four running backs in some order, Barkley, Elliott, Kamara, McCaffrey, are the top four, there seems to be that's the consensus right now is there's a line after that. If you had the fifth pick in a PPR draft right now, who do you take?
Probably Travis Kelce. But again, this Tyreek Hill situation, I just think he's primed to lead the tight ends far and away. And with the Tyreek Hill variable, David Johnson, I can catch myself, feverish about that idea when I think about Arizona. There's the safe shelter of someone like DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams.
Yep.
Those are the players that I would think about at that point. After David Johnson, the running backs get a little bit risky. I would actually go Joe Mixon next. And maybe if Cincinnati, we continue to hear positive things out of Cincinnati, that's an offense that could take a big step forward this year under their new head coach. So maybe Joe Mixon gets into consideration as we get closer to the beginning of the season.
Bell or Connor for you?
Probably Bell. I mean, neither. Look, the reality is this. For me, neither in my drafts because I'm lower on than my colleagues. Although Connor, I could maybe end up regretting that. Yeah, but I would say like Nick Chubb over both of them. You know, if Dalvin Cook's building momentum, I might take Dalvin Cook over both of them. I just think that with Bell, there's unknowns with Adam Gase, with off. The Jets just don't seem like a place that players are going to flourish. And with James Conner, I can see the Steelers moving to splitting the workload more and saving him so he doesn't wear down like at the end of the year last year.
Well, if you can get up here by 10:30 tomorrow morning, you can see the trophy and be a part. We're having a brunch draft, Bloody Mary's, a restaurant we like is doing this privately for us, so it's going to be really cool, I think. I mean, Bulldog's going to make fun of it, but I can't wait for
tomorrow. I'm all about brunch and Bloody Mary's. I'm good with that.
That's where you draw the line.
Giddy up, yeah. Right.
Yeah, so if you can make it, Sigmund, we'd love to have you.
I'd love to. I wish I could. But, you know, I'm down here in New Orleans where the Bloody Mary's are always bottom.
Right.
I love any time I've spent in Buffalo, and I look forward to getting back there again.
Well, we'd love to see you if that happens. I'd love to do that. Thanks a lot for today.
Oh, always a pleasure. Look forward to the next one.
Thanks. Sigmund Bloom, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. He's the co-owner of Football Guys. It's my favorite fantasy football site. The Draft Dominator app, all the articles, Dynasty, everything, like no stone unturned.
Here's a little something maybe for you to consider, although the thing you're doing tomorrow is rookies, right?
Mostly.
Mike Reese, NFL Nation ESPN reporter covering the Patriots, just tweeted, I'm seeing it retweeted here by Mark Schofield, but while we were talking, the Lions announced that tight end Michael Roberts has reverted back to the team's roster per the trade conditions, and subsequently the Lions have waived him. So the trade, he was the tight end that the Patriots traded a 7th-round pick for one day this week.
Yeah,
he's on waivers. The trade didn't go through. So the Pats are getting their pick back. It was a 7th-round pick in 2020. But that effort to fill the void left by Rob Gronkowski obviously didn't work out.
Continues. What do we know why?
It doesn't say here what the problem was, but
a lot of people are speculating it was a failed physical.
That would be what the reasonable guess would be. Yeah.
Which means Matt Lacoste survives as the Patriots' starting tight end for the time being.
I'm seeing here they asked him to spell to do the alphabet backwards, and he struggled. No, that might sound like a bad joke. I mean, it might just be a bad joke. I'm seeing here that they asked him the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow, and he didn't know. That's better.
I always feel like I would struggle with the alphabet backwards. Stone cold sober, just whatever. Peak operational capacity. I think I have a hard time doing that.
Peak bulldog might not spell the alphabet backwards correctly.
I think I get tangled up doing that.
My wife can do the whole thing in 3 seconds, 2 seconds.
I think, yeah.
Like that.
I think spelling anything backwards. When Owen was hurt for a little while when he was in Des Moines, and he thought he was feeling better, and he went for a test hoping to get cleared, and one of the things they asked him to do was spell world backwards, and he couldn't do it.
Really?
And he tried and he failed. And
wonder why that word.
I don't know. Yeah, right. No idea. And I thought to myself as he's texting me, I'm like, I could screw that up.
Yeah, I could get that wrong.
I could mess that up. I could mess anything up backwards. It's backwards.
The story goes, my wife and I had a huge fight. This is like 2004. Had a huge fight. And we just ended it. I remember just like, I was crying and she was crying and we were screaming at each other. It was terrible. And then I was walking away and she spelled the alphabet backwards and I was hooked. I was back. And we hugged and I proposed to her right there. We got married the next morning. Oh my God. In Ashland, Massachusetts.
Oh my God.
What a story. What a romantic life I've lived. All she had to do was spell it. I couldn't even tell what it was at first. It was so fast, but it was the alphabet backwards. I just fell to the ground. 803-0550 is the number. What do we have here next? Oh, why? Remember how? Yes?
I just did it in my head while you were talking. I was listening. Mm-hmm. I did it in my head, and I forgot W.
You forgot W. Is that the letter you'd forget?
I went ZYX, VUT, like, W, you idiot.
Already wrong.
Already wrong.
Disqualified.
And I'm pretty on right now.
Why we talked about a topic we talked about 9 years ago today. What was it, and how come that possibly was the topic? See if these guys can figure that out. It's not backwards.
Good.
We will have Brian Koziol on next hour. We can have you on at 803-0550. Bills Fantasy, Ryan O'Reilly, the Raptors and the Warriors, some of the things we've been talking about today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, this is
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
UGR.
You know, you look at some of the stuff that's going on, and it's like, oh, that was 2 years ago. No, that was like 5 months ago, you know, 7 months ago, 2 months ago. Like, everything this team has been through, I'm extremely proud of the guys. You know, the way we fought, you know, it's great. But, you know, we lost. There's no moral victories. You know, congratulations to Toronto. They played a great series. They deserve to win.
Draymond Green, what happens now? Did it all end last night? 5 years in a row in the finals, 3 wins is how it adds up for the Warriors. Good for Toronto. They earned it. There's no asterisk or anything for me. Absolutely none. I mean, injuries happen. The Warriors have benefited through the years from other teams' injuries, including Kawhi Leonard, if you go back far enough, when he played for San Antonio, but Chris Paul and other guys. The Cavs had injuries when they played Golden State. It's part of it. And I think Toronto was good enough where I wouldn't even think to diminish their accomplishment.
Yeah, they. I mean, last night it was. I mean, everybody on the team was in double digits at halftime. Like they got scoring from all over the place. And Lowry opened the game with 11 straight points. The first 11 points Toronto scored were all Kyle Lowry. Van Fleet was really good for them yesterday. Siakam. They've had games where they're not depth, because that sounds like they're going 8 or 9 deep, and it's not really that. But they got a lot of contributions. It wasn't just Kawhi Leonard scoring 45. You know, like they got good work from a lot of guys.
I guess I will give you this now because I mentioned it already, but I do want to get to the NFL MVP odds at some point. They're interesting. I have to always preface this by explaining it. I happen in the computer where I go and make notes for the day. I name them all the date. And so I'll start to type in the date, 6/14/19. And I start to do that, file name 6/14, and it says 6/14/10, whatever the lowest number is, the earliest year. That's what it wants me to, that's what it's asking me, trying to help me. Do you mean 6/14/10? No, that's fine. But once in a while, I'll think, let me look up 6/14/10. What do we do? And one topic on that day, it was a Friday, 9 years ago today, was what is the worst instrument? Why would there be a conversation? Now, on this show, there could always be a conversation like that. Yep. The conversation about Fritos, I don't think, was it for any particular reason.
No.
When you said milk was fantastic the other day. Again, no particular reason.
Yeah, these things just
conversation.
Come up. Yeah, right.
But there was a sports tie. There was a sports reason for 9 years ago today, our talking about what the worst musical instrument is.
Not in June. We would not be talking about a tuba player in the Ohio State band. In June. I can't imagine why we would be doing that.
How dare you? My instrument is the first instrument you mentioned.
I mean, it's giant and not real versatile. There's not a lot of practical applications in pop music for tuba. But it's more just how cumbersome it appears to be.
Cumbersome.
But it can't be because of that. So that's just the first thing I thought of. What would we have been talking about?
This is going to be hard, but you could get it.
Yeah.
You could get it. It's hard, though. There is a sports reason for having that conversation 9 years ago. What is the worst instrument? I'll go a little further. What is the worst sounding musical instrument?
A kazoo.
Close.
Oh, wait. No.
Look up.
Oh, a vuvuzela.
Right.
Okay.
Good. You got it. The vuvuzela.
All right.
World 9 years ago was the World Cup in South Africa. And those super annoying kazoo vuvuzela things.
Right, right.
Were
mm-hmm.
the talk.
Yes, they were quite prominent.
Yeah.
Really,
that's the answer.
Somewhat impossible to escape on the television broadcast.
Right.
There was just a constant.
Something was broken in your
droning
TV.
Droning sound just going. Yep.
The whole time you're watching the World Cup, that right. noise.
Yep.
That's right.
You know, that is a. There it is.
There it is.
Wow. Yeah, that is damn annoying.
The tuba is way better than this. When I'm playing it, it is.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Hike was never this bad at the tuba. On my worst day, it was better than that. It was a better sound than that.
Is a noisemaker necessarily a musical instrument?
I don't know. Right, 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 right.
I don't think, you know, you can use a noisemaker as a musical instrument, but if something is really designed primarily to just be loud and obnoxious, I'm not sure that I classify that as a musical instrument.
Well, what would I know about whether something is classified as to be loud and obnoxious? What would I know about that? Here is Kyle with us. Hello, Kyle.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good, calling from Erie, Pennsylvania. I had a quick question about the Raptors and how that might affect the Buffalo Bills and the little scare of moving to Toronto again. How do you guys feel about how that might, if there be any effect with a major championship team and major league as the NBA having effect on the Bills and the talk about moving to Toronto again? It's one of the fears I've had.
Who
opening up again. What do you guys think about that?
I wouldn't even connect those two things.
Who's talking about the Bills moving to Toronto again?
I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, it always seems like it's, you know, it was about to happen 45 years ago, and then obviously we got the owners bought it, so we had that.
You think maybe the Raptors winning a title would maybe enhance their profile or something, or make?
Yeah.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Speaking,
I don't think there'd be any reason why their winning would mean anything. Myself, but yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't think irrelevant. Sorry. I mean, good. Not sorry. Congratulations!
Right. Yeah.
I'm not sorry. You're happy to hear that. I guess that I have no fear of that.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Thanks, Kyle. I'm going to get to that Erie, Pennsylvania again soon and go to Splash Lagoon.
Oh yeah. All right.
Have you been there?
Oh yeah.
Joe, have you been to Splash Lagoon?
I have not.
We hit up Splash Lagoon as a surprise vacation extender. We were on our way back from Pittsburgh. We went down there like on a Thursday maybe one summer and spent like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we were coming back Sunday. And my wife and I quietly, while the boys were in the back seat just doing what at the time, I don't know, 8 and 6 year old boys would do.
Punch each other?
We weren't sure. There was really very little of that, these kids. I'm telling you, we got very lucky with that. I said to my wife, like, why don't you see about that Splash Lagoon over there in Erie, and we'll stop on the way home and we'll spend a day there. So we did that. It was a big surprise. We got off and they were just thrilled. We had a room there and everything, and it was great fun.
I've been there once. It was pretty cool. The water slides just like chopped me up. And when you go on water slides, do you want the mat? Don't you want the mat?
Generally, yeah, because I don't want to catch like the corner of your elbow, the point of your elbow in one of those seams in the slide.
Oh yeah.
Or just like the ridges, your back or your elbows, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Horrible.
I got to have the mat.
Yeah, I like the
mat. I don't remember having a mat that
day. Yeah, I don't think they had mats there.
Or a slide big enough where you could fit a tube in it and just sit on the tube. That's the
ideal.
Way to go.
That is ideal. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a sled that my son seems to really want to use as like a tube in the pool. It's like a big red sled. Like the polar slider, I think it says on it. The polar slider. And he just insists on being able to sit on this thing in the pool, like it's a raft or something. So we open the pool, and he gets the giant polar slider. I mean, the pool is not even that big. He gets the giant polar slider out and sits on it. Like, Julius, that is not going to work. The thing is going to sink. It is not a raft. It is not designed for the pool. He's like, okay, takes it out. The next day, we're going out. He's always so eager. Like, he's out there before I am, just getting ready to go out. There he is. He's got the – he's like, I fixed the problem. I said, there wasn't a problem. There wasn't a problem. You were just not allowed to use the raft, the sled, as a raft. He's like, I fixed the problem. Now he's got – we've got these two beanbag-type chairs like that do float.
Okay.
One of them is called Big Joe.
Floating beanbag.
Like floating, you know, yeah.
That's amazing.
And yeah, one of them is Big Joe. Like, it's not air in it. That's the only thing I'm saying. Whether it's beans or whatever, it's just not air.
It's just something, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it floats. It's a pool. It's made for the pool.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
We have two of these. One is like a little chair sort of shape, and the other is a turtle.
Not surprising. I don't have a pool, so I wouldn't really shop a lot for these types of items. Anyway, yeah.
And he has taken... I look out there, he is on the sled, and the sled is positioned on top of the two other. So instead of just sitting in the Big Joe inflatable beanbag thing or whatever, not inflatable, but the beanbag thing, he's got to be on this sled on top of that. And like now he's fixed the problem. Why are we talking about this? Oh, yeah, the guy called from Erie.
That's right.
NFL MVP odds and the U.S. Open ahead for discussion. What?
Nothing.
You thinking about milk and how good milk is?
No. You reminded me that we took that call. I was already trying to just forget that.
No, it's whatever. He's just worried that the Bills that Toronto might be getting more attention now, might be getting hungry now for more now that they've won an NBA title. You can see it, but okay. I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
I'm good at this patient game, so I know you just need to be hanging around on the weekend, and you know, if as long as they're good putts, that's fine. They were coming off right where I wanted to. Speed seemed pretty solid, and you know, the point is tough to putt on. You know, it kind of does bounce a little bit. Not making excuses; they were good putts, but you know, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. They might all fall.
Brooks Koepka, two-time defending champion.
Yep.
Of the U.S. Open and PGA Championship winner this year. Mm-hmm. 4 under, 69-69 is two rounds. He's done today. 7 under, Justin Rose leads. He is also done for the day. Aaron Wise, -5. His second round is over. Ricky Fowler's at 5 under, among others. And Fowler has still yet to start. Or he might be on the first hole. Jordan Spieth snapped at his caddy yesterday. So he was playing a hole, and Spieth hit a shot, but he might have thought he had the wrong club based on where it ended up. And then he hit a second shot, and the same thing, maybe over a green, and he snapped at his caddy. His caddy's name is Michael. I think it's a guy who's been with him. And he goes, two perfect shots in a row, Michael, like that, snapping at him. Like, how about do your job and give me the right club?
Yeah, right.
Not a good look for Spieth.
No. Then they had a thing today where he was in a bunker and hit a rake that I'm assuming neither of them saw or thought would be a problem with the shot he was taking out of the bunker. So they could have moved it, I suppose, if they'd seen it, but they didn't. It was in some sort of high grass at the edge of the bunker, and from where Spieth was, he couldn't have seen it. If the caddy had walked around to the front of the thing, maybe he would have seen it, but either way, they didn't move it, and the shot out of the bunker hit the rake and ruined the shot.
Yeah, the ball just went straight back into the ground after that. Yeah, I'm guessing that they just didn't see it there, or right. Else they would have moved it.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird one. Spieth is not playing badly, though. Like, he's still in the picture here. You have McIlroy is there among Brian's guys. Brian will join us at 5:30. It was his turn in our regular majors bet to pick a team, and you know the obvious names are pretty much on it. Justin Rose is not, and Rose is the leader.
Nice. Yay, us.
He picked Stenson, too, right? Didn't he do that?
I don't think so. Was Stenson in the top 20? Only guy outside the top 20 he took was Lowry.
Didn't he mention Stenson? Okay, I must be wrong there.
No.
Stenson -3.
He might have. He said he was considering two guys there. And yesterday, he can tell us it in a half an hour or so, but he said there were two guys he was thinking about, and he settled on, I think it's Lowry, but he had considered this other guy, and maybe it was Stenson.
Not sure. That's later. Next, I give Bulldog and Sneaky Joe a fake $100 to spend on NFL MVP betting. How will they spend it? I'll spend my own $100. I might spend a real hundred. Hey.
Okay, Mr. Big Shot.
Mr. Big Shot. I might actually, but I the odds are kind of interesting in a few reasons, and Josh Allen is posted. So maybe you've seen this. If not, either way, let us tell you what that looks like, and stay tuned. 803-0550 to call us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.